It's now my great pleasure to introduce the first of our special guests, Mr. Alec Kruger, and his co-author, Gerard Waterford, the co-authors of Mr. Kruger's autobiography, Alone on the Soaks, which I'm sure many of you already know that yesterday Mr. Kruger's book won the Human Rights Award for Literature. And to introduce part of that book and to read an extract, I'd like to invite Jackie Baxter, who is the manager of the Central Australian Stolen Generations and Families Aboriginal Corporation, to the microphone. Thanks.
Thank you, Alan, for your warm welcome. I'd like to read an extract from Alec's book. It starts at page 25 and it's the chapter about Stolen Away. I've been to the High Court of Australia as part of a test case for us kids taken away. The court rejected our claims for compensation. Some people said that since we had our day in court, we should just forget about it, get over it and move on. That would be a hard thing for many of us to do. We feel that justice has not been done. We were fighting shadows. The biggest problems faced by our lawyers was to be heard at all. Because of the statutes of limitation, we couldn't claim in a lot of areas. The lawyers couldn't get much historical documentation about what had really happened all those years ago. No one seems to have written anything much down, or the papers had got lost. We couldn't be heard because we couldn't prove anything. Without supporting records, we were stuck. The court seemed to accept that our parents might have said it was okay to lock us kids. It was possible that the ones in charge thought that imprisoning us would be for the best. Anyone who was there knew differently. But us kids were old people by this time. The white bosses and most of our mates were dead. We had survived. No one wanted to talk about the kids that didn't make it. They weren't claimants in the case. I have talked to lots of people who were in the institutions. I've searched for official documents in the National Archives and other places. But it is impossible to get information on what exactly happened to me and my sister. It was not even recorded anywhere that I was in Carlin and had been taken away from Donkey Camp. Lawyers and other people supporting me have been looking, but there's nothing to find. The paperwork, if there was any, is lost. I didn't seem to officially exist for many of the early years of my life. We were able to confirm that the police had been active taking children of mixed descent from their parents in the Victoria River and Halls Creek region in mid-1928. Myrtle, Maud, Maggie and Mary Campbell, who became friends with my sister Gladys, were taken as part of this. On their way through Catherine with a group of kids, these police from out of town came to Donkey Camp and took me and Gladys too. My sister Bobby was not taken. She was of full Aboriginal descent, nor were Leslie and John taken. Perhaps they were away with my father. Perhaps they'd already drowned. I've been unable to find any records of them except my mother's death certificate that says she had me, Gladys, and one deceased son. I have been told that early in the morning, police on horseback came down to the road to Donkey Camp. They say that the visiting police had heard there might be mixed descent kids staying at Donkey Camp. My father, George, and all the men were away working. The police faced a mob of Aboriginal women. We were snatched from our mother's arms before anyone could raise the alarm. My mother and other women were taken by surprise. Us kids couldn't be hidden. They had us rounded up before anybody could organise a diversion. I was not much more than a toddler and my sister just turned 6. We were taken and locked up in the police station, waiting with the kids from the west to be taken on to train to Darwin. They say the police were looking for older kids, really. Gladys and I were an afterthought. George said my mother followed us, hoping for a way to get us back. When the train to Darwin arrived, we were locked up on it. When the train stopped for the night at Pine Creek, us kids were locked up in the Pine Creek jail. My mother was on the train. She stood at Carlin's wife fence waiting to catch sight of us. Having kids taken had happened to Polly before with her first baby Ada. Now it was happening again. Like all the Aboriginal mothers, she didn't get to take us back. To the authorities, she was just another crying Aboriginal woman at the fence who didn't understand that the institution would train up the children for a better white world. She stayed with Ada. The authorities threatened her with arrest and eventually she went away. Probably they threatened Ada as well. My mother went back to my father and Catherine to make a life for her remaining children. Ada had a place outside Carlin in the Aboriginal compound and could sometimes be there for us. Alice Kruger was also there, but none of us really knew of Alice. It seems she was working in the home of Dr. Cook, the chief protector of Aborigines in the Northern Territory, the same fellow who probably signed off on us being picked up. It is hard to know what Alice could have done if she even knew what was going on. She and Ada were just teenagers. They had survived growing up at Carlin. I suppose they knew we would have to survive too. I've had lots of time to think about what happened to us. Possibly it was personal. My father was still the carter of supplies out to the cattle stations in the northwest, so the police who picked up the Campbell girls probably knew him or knew of him. Perhaps he had tried to stop those other kids being snatched away. My father or great uncle may have been offside with someone who could authorise a raid at Donkey Camp. Perhaps my mother had offended someone in town, but it could also have been the act of individual policemen or government workers. They have been true believers in enforcing the Aboriginal ordinance. Might have just been in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Thanks for that, Jackie. A bit of a diversion from the program, but I think it's a missed opportunity having the co-authors on stage and not having a chance to talk to them. So if it's all right with all of you, I might invite Mr. Kruger and Gerard to the microphone to talk a bit about their experience of writing the book.
Hello, I'm Gerard Woodford, this is Alan Kruger. We've been writing this book for 7 years now with the help of all the family and everyone else. It's fabulous. They don't let us out of Alice Springs very often. It's great to be here. The book was, Alec has been telling his stories for a long time, and they're very important stories for the Stolen Generations, of which he's been a big part in setting up and organising across the Northern Territory and across Australia. It's because it was an important story. The local Stolen Generations and their Families Association in Alice Springs asked me to work with Alec to start putting these stories down, and the Kruger family organised to get it published, to start the process of getting it sort of published. And we've been working on it since then. It's been a great journey. It's been an incredible learning experience for me, and lovely to meet all the Krugers across, and the Armacks and the Willises and everyone else, and we've got a lot of them here today. Have been a big part in getting this book together. Thank you very much.